Welcome, everyone, to today's episode of Be Freaking Awesome. I'm Angela Belford, your host, and joining me today is Sammy Kennison. Normally, you intro these, but today we actually have a special episode, and we are going to get to hear and watch a speaking engagement that you had called Emotions Are Our Superpower. Okay, wait, let's eek a little bit. I don't know how to do the visual effects or the sound effects, but so exciting. Anyway, you got to talk at a local women in tech conference here in Northwest Arkansas, and you did a talk called
Emotions as a Superpower.
And you look fabulous, by the way. I love the pictures of it. I'm so excited. You guys should definitely check it out on YouTube, because when we splice that in, then you get to see she got a whole cape action. If you're on visual, it's very cool. It's this shirt that kind of turns into a cape. That's very cool. And then you have like a neat little necklace. Got the whole ensemble to go with it. But this is not your first speaking. Oh yeah, cute heels. I don't know if those are in the video or not. We haven't seen it. But first question I have for you is this your first speaking gig? You're so excited about it. Is this the first one?
No, not even close. I think to take us back to my first speaking gig is when I was 18 years old. That's right, 18. And I keynoted a conference with 400 people where I had just joined my sorority. They had our annual district conference with people from all over a 5-state area. This was in the spring. That previous fall, the founder of the organization had passed away. And I gave a speech about legacy. And not to toot my own horn too much, but I moved a lot of people with that speech. And I had people coming up after me that were like, you've never met her. And it so shows that her legacy gets to be carried out through people like you. And thank you so much for your message. And it was really, really cool. So that was my first big speaking gig. Not big, but first speaking gig in general.
I have two thoughts on that. Number one, can we just normalize it's okay to talk about when we did something well? Not to toot my own horn, but I want us to normalize that it is okay to say, I'm very proud of myself. I did very well. I'm proud of 18-year-old me. You were. And I remember crying through the whole, because it got posted on YouTube. I cried because it was beautiful tribute also to you. You referenced a beloved uncle of mine that had passed, that you had gone to the funeral with me, so I didn't have to go by myself. And anyway, it was fantastic. I remember another impactful, well, you did a ton of speaking in college, of course, being the president of your sorority for the region, right? Yeah, tell us about the next progression.
That district conference sort of prompted a whole journey for me, where then I became a regional officer, our district officer. I was a vice president of special projects, then president. And I think I've counted, and I don't remember the separation from student to alumni, but I have presented more than 20, 25 times at various workshops, conferences, and things like that. At the workshops are at like an individual university. Conferences and conventions are at like a 5-state area. And then I even presented once at the national convention, which is with everybody across the nation. So I have, so that's really prompted a whole lot of, honestly, that's where I figured out what I want to do. And I told a lot of people, if I could do what I'm doing in Tau Beta Sigma as a job, that would be amazing. And then I sort of moved on for a while. And now here I am, doing what I was doing in Tau Beta Sigma as a job. I am coaching people one-on-one about how to make improvements, particularly to their communication. I am leading workshops at a customized level and at events and conferences. I am doing the things that I was doing when I was a college student in my job and getting paid for it. And just feeling in this spot this week of accepting my dreams and accepting the blessings of that, and that I can be chasing my dreams and living them. It's so good. I don't know if you can hear just that deep breath, that settling in. It's just it's just nice. It's just really good these days. I'm loving it.
I know that sometimes it's hard to be self-promotional, and so we're just going to practice here being self-promotional. We talk a lot about me, and we talk a lot about the different experiences that I have, and so I just want to say one of the most fun things about this endeavor is my partner in creativity. Anyway, it's super fun because then I hear from a lot of speakers, they're like, oh, it's such a lonely business because nobody understands. It is nice to have somebody that understands what I do.
So I want to add about the event that happened. It wasn't yesterday when you guys are listening to this, even if you're listening to it far in the future, is NWA Women in Tech. And I actually last year looked at going to this event, and I weirdly talked myself out of going because I was like, no, you're not really a woman in tech. Like, you're in marketing and other people are in coding and software development, and you're not really tech. And then it was like, marketing is so digital and websites and social media and so much of this stuff. And now the amount of AI that we use and have to interpret and understand, and SEO, how on earth did you define yourself as not in tech just because you don't code things? And even with that, I have still learned so much about coding and so much about CSS coding. And we had one project last year that I remember being like, my job satisfaction is so low because I have to code every day. Like, I can code. It doesn't mean I like to do it, but it was weird. So for me to say that I'm not in tech, come on, Sammy, what kind of imposter syndrome are we dealing with here? So this year I decide I'm going to attend, and then I get selected to be a speaker. It was like, oh, cool. Well, that's great. Not only am I a woman in tech, but I'm also a woman in tech that people can look to learn something. Great. I love it. Sounds wonderful.
Sounds like you got over your imposter syndrome.
Yeah. One of
at the, least to a degree
moment, there's a funny moment in the talk where I even meant talk about our physiological symptoms of emotions, and that your heart can race and you can be sweaty, and maybe that means that you are nervous to speak in public, or you could be like me and maybe that means you love to speak in public. Anyway, so I think that it was I just have been on such a high since then. I really felt like I was doing good things with my skills in a flow state. I felt so good in that presentation. Man, I could have gone on for hours and hours too. They limited us to a 10-minute block, and you can really only get so deep within it. But I hope that you guys enjoy getting to listen to the talk, Emotions as Your Superpower. It probably will be a refresher for a lot of you longtime listeners about different things that we've talked about, different things in Angela's book, and finding ways to sort of give an introduction to this idea that emotions aren't bad. You don't have to run away from them like Angela once did. And that you can really embrace them within the spaces that you're in. And I don't think that's talked about enough within tech, particularly for women. There is this, like, you kind of have to be masculine. And I don't know, you can still have emotions and be masculine or feminine, whatever way you want to go. Without further ado, here's my speech.
As she said, my name is Sammy Kinnison, and I am Associate Creative Director and Communication Coach at the Belfort Group. Today, I want to talk to you guys about how to be equipped to use your emotions as a superpower. Before we dive in a little bit too deep, I want to address some common concerns that come up whenever I start talking about emotions. Number one, people think that emotions make them weak or vulnerable. They also think emotions can make them seem unprofessional in the workplace. Maybe emotions make you feel a little bit out of control. Or if you're somebody in the audience who's like, Sammy, I'm all in, I'm ready to learn about emotions as a superpower, you can probably agree that at the very least, emotions might make you a little bit uncomfortable sometimes. I'm here to tell you that all of these things are true to some degree. Okay, so let's break it down first. Emotions make us seem vulnerable, and that makes it is true because there's a part of our emotions that open us up and enable us to connect with others, but that does sometimes open us up to be hurt. But that connection and that vulnerability, that's really where we can build relationships, build trust, and become better humans. In addition, our emotions can sometimes be used as excuses to hurt other people. When we let our emotions run rampant without learning how to harness the power of them, we can use them in a way that is unprofessional and it hurts other people. especially in the workforce. Lastly, third point, our emotions happen in a part of our brain that happens a little bit automatically. It doesn't always happen because we decided, today I want to feel angry. And there's a part of it that really is a little bit out of our control. Understanding how we can harness that and work with our body and with our brains can help us to embrace that feeling. And then lastly, yes, they do make us uncomfortable at times, but if I've learned anything in this life, it's that the comfort zone is never where the magic happens. There are some upsides to embracing your emotions. Number one, emotions can lead to enhanced mental well-being. When we stop having feelings about our feelings, we give ourselves more space and capacity to process what's going on. But when we keep ourselves in these feelings about our feelings and then feelings about those feelings, it is not in a place where we can operate efficiently and as our best selves. Next, emotions lead to strengthened relationships. When you are connecting with other people, you need to open up and show your emotion. Like I said before, vulnerability leads to connection, and that emotional place can help us have better relationships with others. Next, embracing our emotions leads to better physical health. There is so much research around psychosomatic pain, and when we don't address the emotions in our body, that doesn't mean that they just go away. They show up somewhere else. And so when we understand how to embrace our emotions and feel our feelings, we can address some of those other psychosomatic disorders in our body and not let that impact our physical health. And then lastly, embracing our emotions leads us to live more authentic and fulfilled lives. When we can show up as our whole self in the workplace, in our communities, and in our families, we can live more fulfilled, more authentic, embracing the wide range of emotions that we all can feel. Now, you guys have a choice to make. You can either choose to go to the next slide. You have two choices to make. You can take path number one and say, you know what, Sammy? I hear you, but this is all a load of baloney, and I'm going to continue going down the path that I'm going, ignoring my emotions, and suppressing them. Or we're going to say, for the sake of argument, that everybody in this room is super excited to take path number two and understand how to embrace their emotions and live a more fulfilled life. So everybody's embracing their emotions. Let's throw a party. Oh my gosh, it's so exciting. I'm so proud of all of you. I'm so excited to live an authentic life. Okay, now let's go to work, because embracing our emotions can lead to a steep learning curve. Now, embracing our emotions as a superpower might mean that we need to take a little bit of a sidestep to hero school. We're going to learn about emotions as your superpower 101. First lesson in school today is that emotions are indicator lights. When we are going about our life, our emotions being experienced in our body is really just an indicator that something is happening. This means something to you. This matters. When we have a situation and there's nothing going on in our body, it may not matter to you. But whenever something is happening, it's really just an indicator light. It doesn't have to be good or bad. It just is. When you are driving your car and your check engine light comes on, do you immediately pull over, stop everything, get a tow truck, and not drive an inch more? No. We notice. We recognize. We say, maybe in the future I need to go take a trip to the mechanic because something is going on that I need to address. Just like our emotions and the dashboard lights on our car, when emotions come up, that can be an indicator light of something else happening. In addition, our emotions are experienced both physiologically and behaviorally. So physiologically, I mean that our heart can race, we can breathe faster, maybe we start sweating or our muscles are tense. All of those things can be sign of an emotion being experienced physiologically. Maybe, hypothetically, you get invited to speak at a local conference and you get to stand on stage with a microphone. Your heart starts racing, you start sweating a little bit, your muscles are all tense. Maybe if you have a fear of public speaking, all of those things are indicators to you that this is not something that I want to do. Or maybe you're somebody a little bit more like me who loves speaking in front of people, and all of these are signs that I'm excited and eager to be here. We can have the same physiological response and have two different emotions or meanings tied to it. Additionally, behaviorally, we experience different things whenever we're having emotions. sometimes our behaviors can be destructive or constructive. This is really, I think, where we can have our problems come up in the workplace when we are experiencing emotions and acting in a destructive way. My five-year-old, when he gets angry and he just wants to throw something, and he decides to throw a book. Throwing a book across the room is a little bit more of a destructive behavior. But that anger in his body needs to go somewhere. We talk about it, and I suggest, what if we throw a stuffed animal? What if you punch your pillow instead of punching your brother? One of these things is a destructive act. One of these things can be a more constructive act. So we understand that emotions are indicator lights. They happen physiologically and behaviorally. Next, I want to address a couple of common pieces of advice that people get about our emotions. Number one, regulate your emotions. Now, in the space of feelings and all this stuff, people talk about regulate all the time. If you're a little bit more like me, maybe a little more left brain, like our techies all here, you're like, what the heck does that even mean? What does this mean to regulate my emotions? Really, truthfully, what this means is that your body has a nervous system that is having a stress response to perceived danger in front of you. When you are facing a bear in the woods, this is a good thing, that your body is going to have a stress response and say, do I think I can fight this bear? Should I run away, or should I freeze so the bear doesn't attack me? When we're in our workplaces, there's not an actual bear in front of us. And sometimes we have to remind our body that we are safe in this moment and we can experience what's going on in a way that does not cause us to get dysregulated and really activated. When we start to notice that we are unregulated more often, or there are patterns around this, it might be an indicator light to us that there are deeper things going on that we need to address. No matter what has happened to you, it's your decision to heal from it. And when you start to notice those patterns coming up regularly, that might be a sign that you need to do some deeper healing. There are a lot of different modalities, and I'm not here to judge any of them. Psychotherapy, chakra healing, NET, EMDR, psychiatry, all of these are great modalities to address some of the healing in your body. But it's up to you to notice those patterns and decide to heal, regardless of what's happened to you. Next, I really want us to remember we need to maintain professionalism. I don't mean that we need to shove our feelings down and ignore them and never address them in the workplace. What I mean is we need to be aware of our impact on other people, how we can cause harm, intentionally or unintentionally, in the workplace. Our emotions are a part of us and need to be embraced, but that does not give us license to just hurt anybody wherever we want, however we want. Because really and truthfully, the key to this all is, how can I be a better human? Ultimately, the goal is to operate from a place of peace and not resistance. And by embracing our emotions, even the uncomfortable ones, we can cultivate a sense of inner harmony that allows us to be our best selves in our workplaces and our communities. As we continue on our journey, let's remember that emotions are not obstacles to overcome, but an important part of us to help us navigate the complexities of our careers and our families. By embracing our feelings, processing them with intentionality, and operating from a place of peace, we can tap into our true potential and harness the superpower of our emotions. Thank you.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. So what was the response? I know I got a couple of text messages, but how did people receive it?
Well, one, what was the text message that you got? Because I feel like that's entertaining to share. The all caps, oh my gosh, I'm so awesome text.
I got from somebody in the audience that said, oh my gosh.
You're talking about from I was right like, afterwards.
No. No, well, I was like,
my response was great. No, other people really enjoyed it. That was really wonderful. Even one of the other speakers, who we're actually probably going to have on as a guest here in a couple of weeks, he did a keynote later in the day and was like, started it off and was like, can I riff on some things? Sammy, where are you at? That talk, oh my gosh, let's talk about that. That was amazing and blah, blah, blah. And so he went on a whole long spiel about it. And that was really, really cool, very validating. And I'm super excited. I hope we get to have Frank on. And then several people I have reached out to and talked to and might be doing some coaching with them. Had a lot of people talking about even just this idea that emotions don't have to be suppressed, that they are a superpower when we embrace them in the right ways. was really, really cool. It was really nice to just to hear from people about how it went.
That's fantastic. I heard it was super entertaining and effective. They had asked if you had been in Toastmasters, and I told them no. They said you were amazing. So good job. That's super fun. So thanks. So if you are out there and you are part of an association, like maybe you guys are going to have a state conference or you're going to have a, even if it, I just got booked to do a virtual monthly meeting. They do training as part of their monthly meeting and they're doing virtual. Let us know, because we can do all sorts of virtual things. We can do workshops for breakout sessions at conferences. We can do keynotes for your conference. We can also help you with, if your company is looking for some help with their emotions, conflict resilience, that sort of thing, then we are doing also some really fun custom workshops for people. I say they're fun because part of what we do is the similar to our coaching. What we do is try to help people like activate their fight or flight response in a controlled environment and then help them work through it so that they can practice dealing with the heart racing and the sweating and all of those things. So I think it's fun. People like it. So anyway, keep us in mind.
A stellar point to say, we're super excited to activate your nervous system. You should book us.
I think yes. And in those workshop situations though, that's the only way, because you can sit there and read all day long that I'm supposed to say X, Y, Z, but until you are in it and your body is like actually heart is pounding, then you can't, you have to practice in that same way. And so yeah. I know it may not sell it, but it is effective. Even though the process can sometimes be challenging, it's still effective. So keep us in mind. We'd love to speak with you guys or coach you. Any of those things.
Talk to you in so many different ways. And I feel like it's really neat that you have both Angela and I sort of to choose from, because each of us, while we are so often like, you know, feels like just the 1-2 punch, I think that there are still some differences and nuances that each of us bring to each conversation, each group. We even talk about whenever people are reaching out to us, who makes sense to coach this person, to be the person leading a workshop. Does it make sense? Even if they reach out to me, does it make more sense for Angela to do it? Or if Angela, does it make more sense for Sammy? Because of, I think it's just this beautiful blend where we cover so much room, generationally, business experience wise, entrepreneurs, corporate, all of the stuff. Our freaking collective resume is just a little bit intimidating, I think, because we're awesome. And we're going to validate that we can normalize talking about how awesome we are. So I hope you guys have a great rest of your day, and I hope you guys enjoyed this. If you have thoughts or questions or anything, reach out. We love to hear from you guys. Thank you so much, and I hope you guys go be freaking awesome.